I cannot help but see with a twinkle of my eyes, children also, our own children multiply. So that's very nice. And Ram requested me, like I think all these years in the past, if I could come up with a subject that invites everyone, wherever they are, into a contemplation or thinking or engaging with the subject. And after, usually I think a little bit like this, and then I wait if Krishna gives an inspiration. And then something landed in my awareness. It's like our devotee said, what was a good name of our announcer? Sakhi Leela, you announce very nicely, Sakhi Leela. She said correctly that the upcoming year or life is made really from a series of decisions. I decided with 16 years to become a devotee, and this has greatly influenced the trajectory of my life. I would be something totally different. Most probably I would be the fulfillment of my father's dream. But you don't make just only big decisions. You make small decisions. In fact, your whole life is comprised of decisions and choices which you make. If there's one thing that determines our life, it's the decisions or choices which we make. And I would like to present in our discussions in the morning some tools how to make such decisions that bring you towards your spiritual life, but also decisions that help you to find your authentic path in life. So that is a little bit my take on it. Life is the result of our choices, and how to make those choices that bring us closer to Krishna and also closer to our authentic path in this life. This I will be trying to present to you. I do hope that during the time of these presentations and after the time you engage in reflecting about them, I can't possibly bring in three lectures everything out that is necessary for making decisions, but you will see. I will shake you, hopefully, inspire you at times, spark a fan in your imagination, lead you to your greatest fears, help you to recognize and then overcome them. I have some plans for you. Good. So let us sing a little bit, this time a Sanskrit song with the names of Krishna. But James, I so much, you could become a pop star or a comedian, but you ended up as a teacher, which is also good. So let us sing Jai Radha Madhava, and then I will.
Jai Jai Radha.
It's always good, no? It's so, we sing this since 53 years, and every time we start with a line, it's just so wonderful. Please join me.
Yasoda nandana praja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Nitai Gaura Sunda, Nitai Gaura Sunda, Nitai Gaura Sunda, Jaya Nitai Gaura Sunda.
Hare Krishna, my dear devotees. If there is one thing in this world that is absolutely sure, it is change. We are changing. Do you know that our cells are constantly changing? In a young man's life, his haircut is constantly changing. in the nature, winter turns into spring, spring into summer, summer into autumn. And all these changes bring with them external things, you know, snow, flowers, fruits, falling leaves. Change is so absolutely sure, yet we human beings are afraid of change. We are afraid to make those choices in our life that bring about a clear change in our life. There is a psychological meta-study. Meta-study means other studies are summarized in a meta-study, which says that people prefer to suffer in situations that are not ideal to making changes into something that seems to be uncertain. A conscious choice, I'm going to change my life and I'm going to adopt a few new behaviors, is often something that we may intellectually understand as being necessary in order to move on. But internally and psychologically and from our feeling, we often do resist change. A retreat like this hopes to, in a short time, help us to make new choices for a better life, or as you always say in England, that help you to become a more ideal version of yourself. How does a retreat happen? We consciously try to stop what we usually do. We leave our homes. We come to a retreat center like this one. We get to know new people. And for the duration of the retreat, we try to minimize our normal activities. Yes, I know you all brought your mobile distraction machines with you, your mobile telephones, but we try to minimize this and create a new space in which something new can grow. It's not that we just give up our old ways for some time, our normal activities and our place where we reside, my dear devotees. No. We fill that space with new activities, new thoughts, new relationships. We are turning to our neighbors in the retreat and we say, hello, I'm a complicated British person. Can you please, can we, I have a question to you. We open ourselves up to new people, things which we ordinarily don't do, that lie outside of our comfort zone, and then something new can grow. My dear everyone, if you think that thank you, I will be more mindful. I know I have to sit straight and then if we think something new will come by continuing our old life, it's like expecting a peacock to be born from a donkey. It does not happen. The old things which you do can never give rise to the new changes and new choices. It's not over if you plant, let us say, onions in the ground, you can't expect a mango tree to grow. No? So if you continue doing the old things, there will not be new enlivening changes. So therefore, on the retreat, I will speak to you in poetic language. Stop! Where are you running, young people? Everything you look for lies inside. Happiness, soul, eternity, God. If you keep on looking outside, you might miss it all. So in the retreat, we stop our normal activities. And we try to utilize these 3 days in the best way. In England, everything has to be happen quickly. I go once a year on retreat for an entire month. Imagine. Yes, I'm a busy person, but I have recognized if I don't put my life on pause for some time and open myself with spiritual practices to new realizations, new insights, new inspirations, I will just go on the old ways and no peacock will appear in my life, so to say, in that analogy. So everything changes. If you don't change on your own voluntarily, you will be forced to change. I know in my life, half a year ago, the people who rent to us, our ashram, said, we have to sell this building. And I was not comfortable. I was so busy traveling. And now they wrote, we are going to sell the building very soon. Oops. I did not make a new choice where I will go. And now I'm forced to change. My dear devotees, just like your body constantly grows and changes, the circumstances, your consciousness and everything will constantly change. Please, in this Pandavasena mentorship, we will try to learn some secrets that help us so that we can voluntarily move on our own terms, with our own conditions, and this will be very good for us. A little while ago, not a little, quite some while ago, 10 years ago, I was invited to make a big kirtan mela in Mauritius. The devotees organized a huge circus tent and invited all those from the island who were interested. We had a huge press conference, and I believe the prime minister came for that, or some other high official. And it was a wonderful Kirtan Mela, very well visited, a Kirtan event. And after the event, Madhava said, "Would you like to go diving?" I said, "Well, I grew up on an island, but what type of diving you have in mind?" He said, "Something simple, the snorkel, not the oxygen machine." And I said, we went with the boat out into a nature protected part of the ocean, and I got my diver's outfit, a nice big diver's glasses, snorkel, some artificial feet. What is it called? These flosks. Is it floss? Sorry?
Flippers.
And it was a wonderful experience. I was swimming over the, just under the surface, and I looked into a brilliant new world. You know, that it was with corals, and there were beautiful fishes who were greeting me as the supreme fish. they nibbled. I thought, I have washed my mouth after Prashada, but there's nothing for you. It was a wonderful experience, but the greatest experience I made was I saw a lobster. Do you know what is a lobster? They have the very soft inside and a very hard shell. And the lobster moved about in such a charismatic way that I wanted to inform myself, study a little bit about lobsters. And I found out he's most probably the most accomplished teacher of change. Listen what I found out. From time to time, the lobster outgrows the hard shell. You know, he becomes inside bigger than the shell. And it's almost the shell becomes, which protected him, now restricts him and he in his growth. And he just needs to do something to get a bigger armor, around him. What once protected him feels now too tight and too restrictive. Now the lobster does not fight change. He goes into a process which is called molting. Can you understand this in your English language? He molts. That means he breaks the old shell, then he slips out of the old shell and develops a new, much bigger size shell, and then goes. Now, to do this, my dear everyone, he needs to go into a cave, because once he has shed his old shell, he's extremely vulnerable to predators. And predators are not just sharks, these big sharks. It's almost everyone in the ocean, So he retreats into a cave, a safe and quiet place where he or she, the lady lobsters are also there, grows a new shell. And there, in this situation, the lobster can grow easily into what they are now, the expanded form of their self. When you want to make choices that bring you to your ideal life, or let us say at least closer to it, you need to learn from this wise teacher. You need to understand that a good, productive, growth oriented life means you will outgrow the present, the things which you do, the concepts which you have, sometimes life circumstances, sometimes even friends will change. And you need to understand that this can only be done if you know the secret secrets of change. Because if you do not know these secrets, and if you don't apply these secrets, you will be afraid of changing and most probably revert back into the old model, which is no longer serving you, like in the case of the lobster. If he would go back, I think they don't do this, but into the old, you know, restrictive shell, I mean, they would die most probably. So you need to know the secrets of making choices for an informed and change that will help you to shed your own shell, which you have built around you, that is certain habits, fixed opinions, familiar patterns of behavior. These things have once protected you, like the things like the shell of the old lobster, but now they are no longer helpful. My dear everyone, I see so many hidden geniuses in shells that are too narrow for them, too restrictive. If I look out into the people I know, they some part of them are people who are so afraid of changes that they stay cramped in their old life. I've also seen people who try to change, but since they didn't know the secrets of how to do that, they somehow went back to the old shell. Perhaps you have also seen such people. So, one, the deciding technique is to choose Shreyas over prayers. We have a slide for you here with a verse from the Katha Upanishad that is often quoted, and I want to read this verse with you. Shreyasya prayas. One moment, I have to find the meter. Shreyasya prayasya manushyameta. Try to sing. Shreyasya prayasya manushyameta stosam paritya vivinakti dira. Stosam paritya vivinakti priya. Shreyo hi dhiro pipriyaso vinite.
Shreyo hi dhiro pipriyaso vinite.
Preyo mando yoga kshemat vinite.
Preyo mando yoga kshemat vinite.
Yeah. word Shreyas means the ultimate good, and the word Prayas means that which gives immediate gratification. You know, the ultimate good for you would be to live healthy and not eat 50 kg of chocolate a day. But the immediate gratification is to eat 50 kg of chocolate and become fat like a, what is it, hypothalamus? You know, the, these, we say in German, horses of the Nile, Nilpferd. So here's the Sanskrit for the translation for you. Every soul has the option of accepting either the path of the senses that give immediate gratification, prayers, or the path of spiritual well-being, which is considered to be the ultimate good and gives ultimate satisfaction. The wise, after carefully weighing these two, accept the path of spiritual well-being, whereas the deluded conditioned souls prefer the path of quick sense enjoyment. You know, it happens every day. In the evening, for instance, after a whole day, you have to make the choice. Will I eat a huge meal and sleep very bad and I'm not able to wake up, or will I opt for a light meal that is healthy? Every morning when the alarm clock rings, you have to make the choice. Will I remain covered by my new blanket and sleep, or will I rise and go under the shower and perhaps do something like physical exercises and spiritual exercises? No? Every day you have the choice between what your senses say, go for it, binge on it, or to do something that brings you to a much more exalted goal. You have the choice. Will I study my lessons? Will I study Bhagavad Gita or anything for in the university? Or will I just opt for the lazy path, you know? My dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear skeptics as well, you have the ability to make choices, but our ego resists to make the choices which change our life, even though we know it's for the better. So we will try to present three spiritual keys for you that help you to make these Shreyas goal choices, these choices that bring you to your ultimate good. Is this a good idea? Well, that was a very small yes. I think you are afraid, or you are asleep, or you are bored. Three spiritual keys we will try to present to you. And I've put it in modern language. These keys will help you to grow. The first is from the small mind to the big mind. Choosing Krishna over our immediate sense gratification. No? The second key is, each morning I will present one of them, you become what you practice. Our daily spiritual practice shapes our consciousness and character. My dear everyone, this is a very important key. I just had a gathering where I suggested to my audience, why not become a morning monk? You know, for a quarter of an hour, half an hour, 1 hour, wherever you are in your spiritual development, daily spiritual practices. they will shape the new you. Do you know you are what you are now because of what you have done day in and day out before? And the third key is very simple. Stay inspired in your life, making growth sustainable and joyful. So we will learn these three keys by looking at examples from the Bhagavatam, individuals who made the key, and devotees who have surrendered to Krishna. We will learn by looking over the shoulder of Nelly or looking over the shoulder of Dhruva Maharaj and others, Nala Kuvera, Manegiriva, Dundukari. There will be a few amazing examples. And this will help you, hopefully, if you are not too tired and cannot understand anything because of tiredness, that sometimes happens in Pandavasena retreats because you stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning because finally you found someone to talk to. But then you can't receive so much spiritual knowledge. But I know it's a problem. I also like to stay up with talk with friends and so on. But yes, these are three things we will learn. We will make practical exercises. We will give you some tools. For now, I would like you to turn to your neighbor, who's just next to you. Even the introverts amongst us, please take part in this thing, because you will have to talk about a question with your neighbor. Vinay, have you found your neighbor? There. Amadajis, please turn to your neighbor. Just find anyone. If there is not a neighbor nearby, you can join a group of two also. Yeah. Well, that shows some. Yeah. Now, that in itself was not the exercise. We need to discuss a question with our neighbor. I will present this question to you. What is the one change, not many, that your soul is calling for, but your ego is resisting because it feels comfortable where it is and fears losing control? No, this is a little bit about what we discussed. No? Is there, I'm sure there is in every one of you something which you know. You may pretend to not know it, but this is only a pretense. There's a one change which you know you should do, but your ego is resisting it because the ego fears to lose control. What is that one change which you should boldly either do or prepare in your life? Can you understand the question?
Yes.
Is it a good question?
Yes.
It may need something which the Londoners are highly uncomfortable to leave the superficial platform. Hello, everything is fine. And under the surface there is a storm brewing, so we might have to leave the surface and do some spiritual ecology. So if you forget the question, it's there for you on the screen. Please start. We will have about 5-7 minutes. Let's see. And please engage in it, and please massage your brain a little, no? And your heart. Don't, no need to to be superficial. Ego resists this. We had a wise teacher of change who does it very nice, the lobster. every now and then, this photogenic being needs to shed his hard shell, which is like our, is comparable to our egos, no? Shell, shed this in order so that it can grow into what it is meant to grow, you know, where I don't know how big they can become. Actually, Gokrishna showed me just now there are lobsters that are this big. So in just the same way as the lobster needs to shed its own shell, the ego shell, we who are so our egos, which are so afraid of making these ultimate choices for our ultimate good, they need we need to grow into this. Now, for this, there are three spiritual keys. I will not present them today because we have just arrived, and in this first section, I just wanted to soften your heart a little bit, or open you a little bit for the possibility of change. Perhaps you were able to find the thing which you feel needs change. Perhaps your ego resisted it and you didn't want to look there. The ego didn't want it. It made a big drama about it or just covered it up. That is, about 50% of my audience is like this in the initial beginning session. It's understandable. We have been so much in our old shell that we resist, that the ego has become so thick and strong that we don't want to grow. But I think during the retreat we will, you know, the whole experience will help you to break through these limiting belief systems and illusions which cover each one of us at times, and you will grow into your wonderful, brilliant, enthusiastic self. That is about it for today. Thank you so much for listening so attentively, and tomorrow we will enter the first one, from small mind to big mind. That is a very interesting thing, but I'm using this as a stepping stone for you become what you practice. The big thing is there, the big surprise is there. Good. I thank you very much. I have been told we should just end this evening with a beautiful kirtan, so I will not take any questions at this moment. Is this correct, Ram? Yes, good. I also think this is best, like this. So let us do something. We want to sing our favorite melody. Is it Govinda Kum? Is it C? My dear everyone, this year we went to Govindakund and found or met a person who had fire in his eyes. Yes, he was so very inspired that there was a light in his eyes, a sparkle in his eyes, which was so, he was so inspired and inspiring that he didn't mind very simple circumstances. He lived in something like a jungle in a very, very small 2 meters, you know, how do you say that? A kutir, they call it. But his demeanor was so, you know, he was so effulgent that I thought, oh, yes, let me look into lighting my own inner fire more. And so we had this, and then we went to the roof also of it. We went to the roof of one ashram, and we sang this melody as the sun was rising, not rising, setting. It was unforgettable, and I invite you to take an upright sitting position. You, wherever you sit, please sit straight. And as we put our various thoughts on pause, as we settle into a comfortable sitting position and a peaceful mind, we will sing to Krishna in a way that we, where we can open our hearts to him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna, Hare, 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 everyone. From your sound I can hear that you are still arriving in that space where you turn to Krishna. Please don't be shy. Address Krishna through his holy names. You're here in a very, very conducive, favorable atmosphere. So please sing. Sing with some gratitude, some devotion, something in your heart to him. Please sing now. Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna. Krishna.
Hare Hare Rama, Rama,
Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Please comfortably sit. So nice, no, to sing together. It will become much better. Not better is not the word, but we are just now shedding our lobster shells. You know, it takes a little time. Hari Bol.